Be looking at Exodus chapter 16. We're gonna talk about a story there that's gonna parallel to what we've been talking about with the Sabbath. Let me look at my notes and make sure I have not missed anything. Hopefully. By way of a couple of announcements, OSL, you're meeting today at 2 o'clock still. Pastor John's retirement party. You may notice there's some information in there. I neglected to say something the first service. You'll see that it's October 21st from 1 to 4, and so we're going to have a time to just celebrate with Pastor John. Pick on him, too, but celebrate as well. So he's been such a blessing to this community, such a blessing to this church family. And pretty much each and every one of you have some kind of a story or a way that Pastor John has touched your life or how God has used him. So we just want to honor him during that time. So put that on your calendars as well. All right. We've been talking about Sabbath, and my challenge today is simply this. Sabbath is one of those words, it's kind of like a foreign word. It's not that the word is foreign or that we don't know what Sabbath is, but the question is do we honor it or do we do it? Do we participate in it? And so I'm not here today to put it out there as if God's got this big anvil and say, you don't Sabbath? God squash, you know, and that's not God. That's not what he's desiring to do. But he does say that we are to honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. So it's something that he's told us about. So we spent the last few weeks kind of, my goal was to kind of spread it out and sharing information. Because if we're going to talk about Sabbath, the goal is how can we take what God is wanting to speak to us and make it applicable today? How can we take what he's speaking and make it 2017, I can understand what you're talking about kind of Sabbath, without compromising any of the principles that God set forth in his word? And so the last few weeks, we talked about Jewish customs, we talked about Jewish culture, but we're not trying to bring those customs and cultures here. We want to know what are the principles. We've talked about a Sabbath and what it means, and just in way of doing a little bit of review, we started with this candle. Why is the candle here? Well, remember, we lit it, and in lighting of a candle in a Jewish home, they would light two candles. And it was, do you remember what it represented, those two things? It was to remember and to observe. Actually, Lisa, if you'll come and light the candle, this is what they would do in the home. It was typically the woman of the home that would come and would light the candle. And when the candle was lit, the Sabbath was on. Everything else was stop. It's Sabbath time, all right? And so everything else would pause. Now, what I want to talk to you about is the challenges that we face in understanding this, because though we understand some of the customs and cultures, that's not what we're trying to impose upon anybody. If you're here today, the last few weeks, you'll realize that I kind of leaned heavy into this is what the Sabbath is. The Bible says Sabbath. Honor it. The Bible says the Sabbath is 24 hours. The Bible says that you're not supposed to do this stuff and you're supposed to do this stuff. And you may have felt this like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can do this. But I purposely just kind of laid it out there, hoping that this week it's where we start to get talking about how do we prepare for this thing called the Sabbath. Because I didn't want to start off with, well, you know, just do the best you can. Give it your best shot. You know, is my microphone working? There we go. Okay, it's going in and out. You're just trying to attempt to win one for the Gipper, and we'll just give it a shot. I wanted to start with what the Bible prescribes. God gave us the Sabbath. As a matter of fact, it's in the commandments. We have don't kill, don't steal, don't covet your neighbor. And then right on in there, he throws in there, honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. On this day, you'll work 6 days, but on the seventh day, you will not work. Your female servants, your male servants will not work. Your male animals will not work. You will keep this day holy. It's the longest commandment that he's given to us. So God takes this pretty seriously. The question is how can we take the heart of what God is trying to speak and apply it in our lives today? Because we get hung up in legalism sometimes, and it trips us up. If you're here today and you're 15 and you're saying this Sabbath stuff, you know, does not apply. Oh, it does very much. It's whatever you're going to do with it. Now, just hear my heart. Maybe you're here and you're a young adult, not yet married. Maybe you're a married couple. Maybe you're married with children. Maybe you're in your senior years. Maybe you're a widow or a widower. It doesn't matter what season you're in life. God says to honor him in the season that you're in. And when you honor him, he honors you because you're keeping his word. So what does that mean? What does that look like to honor the Lord? What does it mean like to Sabbath? Well, we talked the last few weeks and said that to Sabbath, do you remember what it means to Sabbath? To cease or to stop. And I know right now there's a lot of people that when we talk about it, and we talk about Sabbath, it means to cease, to stop working, to take a period of time and just stop what we're doing. In our society today, that's kind of like, I can't do that. I know just looking through first service and through second here, and I can pick people out that maybe you're here and you're a farmer, and you're like, Pastor, Sabbath, really? This is harvest season. You don't understand how hard we have to work and the hours we have to put in. Maybe you're here today and you're a policeman, and you're working swing shifts, and you're saying, 24-hour period, that's not going to work. Maybe you're a doctor, a nurse, and you're saying, I can't do this 24-hour thing. My goal is to get us to understand about the principles of Sabbath and to learn what it is that God is bringing us to and wants us to embrace. He wants us to remember. He wants us to observe. But here's what I want us to embrace today, okay? This is not in your outline, so I want you to write this down because I'm going to put it right on out there with you. When we talk about Sabbath, I'm not nervous. I'm in the same boat with you where we're going, Lord, what does this mean? And why is it so important? I want to honor you, but I don't get it. I get stuck sometimes. And the Lord spoke this to me the other night, and this is pretty much it. Write this down. It's not so much the when and how as much as it is the why. Let me say it one more time. I'll say it a couple more times. It's not so much the when and how as much as it is the why. When we're talking about Sabbath, we do not want to compromise the principles that God has called. It's a commandment, by the way. It's not a suggestion. He didn't say, you know, ask the Lord to come into your heart, forgive you of your sins, and don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal. And well, if you want a Sabbath, there's a little extra credit. No, that's not what he said. He said, honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. As a matter of fact, if you look at your Bible, it's very interesting. In Genesis, God created the world, right? In 6 days. He created on the sixth day. He was done. On the seventh day, what did he do? He rested. He took a break. And then you do not see the word Sabbath pop up again until you find it in Exodus. When the children of Israel, all this time has gone by. You got, I got the wrong person in the garden. Adam and Eve. I had Abraham in the garden there for a minute. I'm like, oh, we got problems. Adam and Eve in the garden, you got Cain and Abel, you know, and you got Jacob and Esau and all these stories just popping up. And nothing's brought up about Sabbathing or honoring the Lord. Now all of a sudden the children of Israel find themselves in slavery, in bondage, and they're crying out to the Lord. They're working 10-day weeks. They had a different calendar system then. And they would work a 10-day week, 24 hours a day, constantly working. Lord, help us, deliver us. And it says, the Lord heard their cries and sent Moses to deliver them. They pick them up, they move them halfway across the wilderness, and they start whining and complaining. And when they start to whine and complain, they say, oh, that we, you know, what'd you bring us out here for, to kill us? And it's interesting to me that Sabbath in Genesis, God worked 6 days, and on the seventh, he rested. Why? Because he was done. And it's now time to enjoy that which he created. It's not like God needed a day off. He didn't need a nap. He didn't need to rest. He didn't need to vacay. He rested so he could enjoy that which he created. And in doing so, he set an example for you and me. And we go, I'm too busy. People to see, places to go. I can't, you know. Who's going to pay these bills? They're not going to pay themselves. I got to go work. I got to make money. So why? So I can pay for the house and the car and the boat and the motorcycle and the timeshare and then we want more stuff. So we got to work more hours to pay for that, and we become a slave to the system, never honoring the Lord, and end up burning out because we're burning the candle at both ends. You see, it's not so much the when and how, as much as it is the why. God is not as concerned about how you have Sabbath or when you have Sabbath as much as he is about why you're doing what you're doing. You see, you can get so caught up and so busy in doing this. Oh, this is the way that we got to do the Sabbath. Okay, everyone, family, gather around. Nobody's leaving this house. Nobody goes out that door. We are staying here, all the lights off, candles lit, and we're just going to sit here for 24 hours and think about Jesus. You know, you can get uber legalistic and religious. and you've thought about the how and the when, though it's way crazy, but why are you doing what you're doing? Is that honoring God? Okay, you can swing the other way. And remember we talked about there being two ditches as you travel down the road of life. You got to be careful of these ditches. If you're driving around Clinton, they don't really have ditches. You got curbs, sidewalks, and pedestrians. Please don't hit them. But if you go out into the county, you got ditches. And if you go in those ditches, some of those ditches you may be able to get out of, but some of them you can't. When I was a kid, younger, out with my friend, I decided on a gravel road out by the 6 mile, I believe it was, to turn as quick as I could, going at a pretty high rate of speed. That does not work on gravel roads. And I ended up going down the side of the ditch, rolling my car. Potentially could have killed my friend. I rolled it his direction, and my car was shot. It was totaled. Had to pull it out. I couldn't get out of that ditch. You know, sometimes when we think about Sabbath, we overthink things. We make it a legalistic thing. And all of a sudden, we start saying, okay, if we're going to do this right, we got to make sure everything's all lined up in order and improper. This has got to be here, and I got to have that, and that's got to be there. Everything's all lined up. Okay, everyone, stop it. We're going to Sabbath. Everyone start, you know, how relaxing is that? We're so busy preparing or trying to do the perfect Sabbath that it's become so much work. Nobody's enjoying it, not even God himself. We've got to make sure we watch out for these ditches. Do not get so legalistic on one side, but on the other side, don't get so laissez-faire. Well, I'm going to honor God for 30 minutes while I watch this TV program. That's not a Sabbath. That was watching TV. What is a Sabbath? It's stopping what you're doing. Chores, work, those things that can wait. And taking time to honor the Lord. That's what it's about. Not so much about the how and the when as much as it is the why. Why are you doing what you're doing? I mentioned those of you that are policemen, firemen, EMTs, farmers, swing shift, factory workers. You may say, I don't know how I can do this. I can't line up my schedule with my wife or my it's not working. Well, let me say this. Because it is not so much about the how and the when, because it is about the why don't you start with a 12-hour Sabbath? Well, Pastor, you didn't mention that the first few weeks. No, I wasn't going to start off with that. Because if I start off with 12, you might get 6, right? I started off with, well, why 24? Here's a simple answer. It's in the Bible. This is what God has prescribed. He said, take a day, a 24-hour period, and let it be something that's set aside to bring honor to me. Now, what does that look like? We're going to get into that, some of the practicalities. But we've got to understand that God desires to be with us. He wants to be with his kids. Now, I know with your children, sometimes you're like, well, you know, God must be a great God because sometimes I just want to kill my kids, right? But we're talking about a Father God who wants to be with his children. And he wants to spend time with us. You see, Sabbathing doesn't mean that you become weird. Sabbathing doesn't mean that you have to change your whole lifestyle. Some of us may have been unintentionally Sabbathing. You know what it means to rest. You know what it means to go and to relax and to take time. But what makes a Sabbath is when you know why you're doing what you're doing and you're honoring the Lord. You're saying, Lord, I'm gonna stop. The chores can wait. The dishes can be washed tomorrow. The laundry can be washed tomorrow. The lawn can be mowed tomorrow. The trees can be trimmed tomorrow because I am stopping. And by stopping, I'm declaring that the God of the universe is still in control even when I rest. And not only that, but I'm choosing to rest because you've commanded me to, and I need that rest. Because if there's any way that I'm going to be able to live this life, it's if I'm rested. We must do that. Now, if you're here and you say, my schedule's so crazy, I challenge you, start with the 12-hour Sabbath, and then maybe you can work it into 18. Till you can eventually get to 24. Don't go for 32 or 48 hours. You don't get extra credit from God for that. 24 hours, okay. It's about honoring God just with what you have at that moment. You simply are obeying the Word of God. You start there and you move into that. There's times when sometimes maybe you don't feel like you're doing it correctly. There's a few things we got to understand. Because we can get caught up in trying to make sense of everything that we overcomplicate things. We kind of way over here, and but we don't also want to undercomplicate, if I can say it that way. We've got to have that balance. I think of a group of people in the Bible who were called the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were a religious sect organization who knew it all. I mean, they understood. They understood it all. When the church is open, you're there. They knew the word of God. They knew what it meant to Sabbath. They were Sabbathing, and they made sure to tell everybody, look at me and look at how well I Sabbath. You see, they knew the how, they knew the when, but they had no clue about the why. Their heart was far from God. So Sabbathing, what does it look like in the year 2017? Simply put, don't get so hung up in doing it perfectly like the Jews did it or like the Bible. I mean, yes, we want to use the Bible as our foundation, but how do you make that happen? Focus on the why. Why are you doing it? What can you give? There's something I found when I started Sabbathing. It'll be just like you. It was difficult. It took a little work. Whenever you develop a routine in your life, does it just happen? Not usually. Usually it takes a little work. You got to make some adjustments, don't you? And so God says, don't worry so much about being perfect. Just start with what you have. When I started to Sabbath, here's what happened. First of all, I felt like I didn't know what I was doing, but I started to do what the Lord told me. 6 days there was work, 1 day you rest. And I thought, God, I got so many things to do. These are probably some of the same thoughts that would go through your head. If I took a Sabbath, all I'd do is sit there and think about all the things that I got to do. Nope, you're going to shelf those for now. And that's hard. That's where you hear God the most, is when you take a Sabbath and your brain goes, okay, fine, I'm going to spend my Sabbath building the to-do list of the things I got to get done while I'm Sabbathing, so when I finally finish this Sabbath thing, I can get my stuff done. That's how I'm going to be more effective, right? Wrong. That's not how you become more effective. It's when you're Sabbathing and those things come up. Oh, I got to do all this. And you say, okay, you move it over to a shelf. That can wait because it's about you, Jesus. And he goes, That's it. Keep on keeping on. And it's going to be hard and you're going to screw it up and you're going to make mistakes, but it's okay. Start with what you have. And here's what I found. I know sometimes people look at pastors and say, well, what do you guys do? You only work on Sundays, right? But we actually do have a little bit more work throughout the week, and it's busy, and my mind does not shut down easily. I can be staring at a TV, a wall, or I don't even know what, and you'd be like, oh, look at him. He's looking at the pretty birds and the bushes. No, I'm thinking about the 5 million things that are going through my head, just like you do. But when I purposely set that aside, and I took 6 days and did work, and I spent that seventh day honoring the Lord, I actually accomplished more than when I spent 7 days of trying to do all the work. What? How can God do that? I don't know. It's pretty cool. It's like, okay? Do you want God to blow your mind? Honor him. Honor him. Do you want to see God move in a mighty way that you just go, this, I don't understand. God is just blowing my mind by how much I'm getting accomplished when I'm spending less time. It's because you honor him. And when you honor him, his word says that he honors you. The Bible talks about that multiple times. There's some books up here. And what I want is I want one per family, please, but I'd like you to take one. If we run out, have no fear. We will have them next week. And we'll get some more if we need to. But this is a book that's written by Matthew Sleeth. This is his name. He's a medical doctor who has been studying the principle of what it means to Sabbath. He's looking at it from the medical perspective. And so he was not a Christian, and he married a girl who grew up in a Jewish home, so he understood the Jewish customs and the lighting of the candle. Oh yeah, honor and observe God. And they would kind of jump through the hoops, and I'm not saying that they didn't honor God. They did. But that's how he looked at it. Okay, they got their thing that they do. He was going through the hospital one day, and he found a Bible in one of the rooms. One of the Gideons had left it, and so he stole it and started reading it. And he came to know Jesus that way. And what's interesting is as he started to grow in his walk with God, he started looking at the Sabbath principle, because he said, there's a lot of people that are coming through my office, and a lot of their problems have to do with the lack of rest in their life. He said, could there be something to this, the Word of God and our physical health? And so he started to study that out. This book's called 24-6. He talks about the important principle of working hard every day, but making sure that you have one day that you rest, you Sabbath, you honor the Lord, and watch how God will benefit that. I want you to take that and read that. Those of you that like to read books, if you don't want to read it, don't take it. Leave it for those that want to read the book. And if we run out, we will order more. But let me read this to you at the very beginning. How many of you know the name David Green? You know David Green? Okay, don't say who he is. Well, let's see if people can come to this conclusion. Let me read this first page to you. It says, when David Green built his first craft store in 1972, his initial plan was to close his stores on Sundays so that his employees and their families, as well as his customers, could take the day off. But he got scared. A competitor vowed to drive him out of business, and one of his tactics was to operate 7 days a week. So David opened on Sundays to match the competition. As the years went by, his business thrived and he expanded. He gave money to charity and to the church, but his conscience bothered him. With one hand, he was supporting the church, and with the other one, he was working against it, literally. For many of his employees, Sunday was the only time they could go to church or spend time with their children. We've all heard the saying, the customer is always right. While this seems like sound business advice, and everything about David's approach to retailing honored this axiom. But something else was working on his conscience. A voice said, I come before your customers. 2 decades after he began his business, David looked at the numbers. Hour for hour, Sunday had become his most profitable day of the week. He was selling hundreds of millions of dollars in merchandise per year just on Sundays alone. David prayed. I would too. And then he took the plunge. He decided to permanently close his stores on Sundays. And that's when his business really took off. Do you know the store? Hobby Lobby. Hobby Lobby. As a matter of fact, it says that when David Green decided that he was going to honor the Lord and obey him, what did he do first? He looked at his competitor. Well, what did he do second? He looked at his numbers. Then what did he finally do? He looked at the Lord. He still honored God. God still honored him. You're going to look at your checkbook. You're going to look at your calendar. You're going to look at your family. And you're going to be like, what am I going to do? Honor the Lord. Well, isn't it too late? It's never too late to honor the Lord. It's never too late. David Green actually found out that he was making hundreds of millions of dollars on a Sunday. And when he closed his business and honored the Lord, he tripled to quadrupled his income. Now, I would love to say that if you honor the Lord, you're going to get millions and millions of dollars. But that's probably not going to be the case. I'm not sure. But Lord, if you want to, feel free. And but it was not about money. That was not the focal point. Honoring God was. And God honored him. You see, they understood. David finally understood. He got his mind off the when and the how. And he focused on the why. Whenever you discover why you're doing what you're doing, the how and the when, it'll come. It'll come. God will show you. You may say, well, I'm going to honor the Lord. I'm going to Sabbath from 5 p.m. to 5 p.m. this Thursday. But let's say next week that that's not going to work. Well, be flexible. Change your time up. I only got 12 hours in this week. Oh, fine, that's 12 hours more than you had if you weren't going to do it at all. I missed a week. Well, then do it the next week. Don't get hung up in this the system that tries to drag you down. Honor God with what you have. Start with what's in your hands. Don't get in the ditches of legalism, and don't treat it like it's something that's just some watered-down religious act. It's about spending time with your Father God. The Bible talks time and time again about the when and the how. I'll read you a few scriptures. They're not in your outline, and if you want them, I'll get them to you later because I'm just going to breeze through them. But Exodus 20, verse 8, talks to us and says, remember to observe the Sabbath by keeping it holy. So the Word of God said, remember. Deuteronomy 5:15 says, remember that you were once slaves in Egypt, focusing on the how and the when. Ezekiel 20, verse 12 says, I gave them the Sabbath days of rest as a sign between me and them. It was to remind them that I am the Lord their God. Ezekiel 20, verse 20, keep my Sabbath days holy, for they are a sign to remind you that I am the Lord your God. It's peppered throughout the scripture, but if we were to ask people, do you know where that talks about in the Bible about the Sabbath? Most of us would say, yeah, the Ten Commandments, honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. But the Bible has a lot to say about Sabbath. The Bible talks a lot about the how and the when, but it's really getting to the why. Exodus 20, verse 6 says that for those that obey him, it says, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments, God puts a blessing into their lives. He says in Isaiah 56, starting at verse 1, but it goes through the next few verses, he talks about blessing and honoring those who keep the Sabbath. He talks about the eunuch who keeps the Sabbath and how God will bless them. Exodus chapter 16, the text which I'm hoping to maybe get to here soon, talks about the fact that the children of Israel had a Sabbath and they were to honor the Lord. And it says that when they honored God, God provided bread for them. Translation, when you honor God, He'll be your provider when you don't see where it can come from. I don't understand this, God. We got to go work for a living. We got to make some money. We got to get some bacon on the table, right? And he says, no, honor me and I'll bring home the bacon, all right? I'll put it on your table. I'll make a way that your mind will go, and you don't know how I did it. You don't even know what it is. Hey, you know that's what the definition of manna really is? What it is. What is it? what is it? It's the dew. He says, I'm going to provide quail for you. In the evening, you'll collect it. And then when you go to bed and you wake up in the morning, you're going to find this wafery-like substance on the ground. And you're going to look at it and go, what is it? That's manna. And it's going to be, it was a cracker type of a wafer, honey-tasting type of thing. I think it was maybe, let's just call it ramen noodles, okay? We got ramen noodles on the ground. It's just something that God provided there. And he said, in Exodus chapter 16, I'm just paraphrasing for you for the sake of time. He said, you want to be provided for? I'll provide for you. Here's the food. Here's the manna. But I'm also going to test you in this, he said. He says, I want you in the morning to go, and I want you to pick up the manna that you need for your tent, for your family, for this day. Eat, use it, enjoy it, but don't keep it overnight. Whatever's left at the end of the day, throw it away. Because if you don't, it will spoil and it will get rotten. Well, how is that a test? It's a test to see, number one, were they going to obey God and do what he said? And number two, if you did not, there was a consequence. Your house got smelling pretty foul. And I actually used the word foul in the Bible. It says that it grew worms and maggots. How many want some maggots in your home when you go home today? None of us want that. His point was is, take what you need and trust me to be your provider. No more, no less, just me. And he put them to the test. And it says that they went out and they collected, and it's so cool. I love this part. Well, I love a lot of parts about the Bible, but this was just fun as I was reading it last night. They went out, they found the manna, and the word of God said, basically, I'm going to paraphrase again, so please just kind of go with me on this. God said, don't be a pig, okay? Don't go hogging all the manna, taking it into your tent, thinking that you're going to take my provisions and start treating it like you did this on your own. Don't start taking my provisions into your home when you have a family of four, but you got enough food to feed 25 people. Because first of all, I told you, it's going to spoil. Just don't hog it all. And it says that the person that went out and collected, this is fun, the sons of Israel did so. Some gathered much, the Bible said, and some gathered little. But here's the cool part. When they measured it with an omer was a scale, a weight, it was a measuring unit to determine how much you had. It says, when they measured it with an omer, he who had gotten much had no excess. And he who gathered little never had lack. In other words, God is going to, he started this thing, he's going to finish it. And he will bring a balance to all of it. You may be saying, I don't understand how God can do this. You want me to just stop and honor God, but I've got so much to do. God has a way of, you got so much work to do. You got stuff you're building. You got projects you need to be done, and nobody's there to help you. Well, now this pastor's up here going, you know, take a day off, honor God. God will honor you when you honor him. You say, I don't know how I'm getting this roof put on. I don't know how this car is getting fixed. I don't know how I'm able to get my sales done. But it's happening. Why? Because you're honoring God. You're honoring God. You know, in New York, as you read this book, you'll read about a company called B&H Photo in New York City. Thriving company. Makes a lot of money. They have a store that is, I wrote it down here, 70,000 square feet. That's a big building, okay? And it's their retail business. And they decided to close on one day, not just the how and the when, but they knew why. We're closing to honor the Lord. And they have a thriving business. Not only did they close their store, but they have an online internet sales company. And you know what they did? They closed their internet business. You want to know for how many hours? 24 hours. Why? Because they wanted to honor the Lord. And when they did, God is blessing them. There's other businesses, you know, of Hobby Lobby we talked about. Chick-fil-A. Why do they close on Sundays? Everyone's bored and we're sick of chicken? No, it's they want to honor God and they want people to be able to go and to worship the Lord. Well, what if they're not going and worshiping the Lord? Well, that's their problem, if I can say it that way. This man, Mr. Chick, I don't know who he is. He knows, God spoke to me, I have a choice, obey or disobey. Honor him or honor me. And he made his choice. And what he did was he created an atmosphere where everyone else gets to make their choice as well. You see, that you just have to obey the Lord. You just have to honor him. In Exodus chapter 16, the story that took place when talking about the Sabbath, we've got to understand this. Honoring the Lord with the Sabbath, it may be a little awkward at times. You say, I don't know if I'm doing it right, but here's what God is looking for. Number one, write this down. God is not seeking perfection. God is seeking progression. God is not seeking perfection. God is seeking progression. Now, by progression, what I mean is his progress, moving forward, doing something, getting up off the couch and moving your hiney in a direction that the Lord is going. Because it's easy to sit back and say amen and hallelujah. It's easy to sit back and say preach. But God's not as interested in that as he is about you and I both getting up and doing something with what it is that God is saying. Are you with me? Okay, that wasn't a critical word. That wasn't me trying to criticize at all. That was just stating a fact that God says, here's what God wants to do. God loves to hit a moving target. If something's standing still, it's easy to hit. But God, he likes hitting a moving target. He likes to see you in motion. And when you do that, he blesses that. So the question is what are you doing to honor him by Sabbathing? And if you say, well, I'm not doing anything right now. Okay, what can you do? Take what you can do and start with that. Well, it might just only be a few hours. Great, start with that. Honor the Lord. It's about taking time and not being perfect. Perfection, by our definition, means spotless, no blemish, no wrinkle, perfect. Always been pure, always will be pure, will never make a mistake. That's not what God's looking for. Because if you're waiting to Sabbath or honor the Lord until you're perfect, chances are you're never going to Sabbath because you're never going to be perfect enough. You see, when you Sabbath and you start progressing, God perfects you in that process. It's kind of like putting a plane together in flight. You're going along and building it as you go. God will bless you. It says in verse 4 in Exodus 16 that the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread down from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day that I may test them whether or not they will walk in my instructions." God was not concerned about, Will manna come down? He wasn't concerned. Will the people want something? He was concerned with those last few words, whether or not they will walk in my instructions. He just wants to know, are they going to progress? Are they going to move forward? Are they going to obey? That's what God is looking for from you and me. In our century, 2017, what does it mean? Simply, it means, are we going to do something and progress? Are we sitting back waiting to be perfect? Start with what you have right now. But the other thing we have to do, if you're going to have a TGIF type of thankfulness, thanking God. And by the way, when I say thank God it's Friday, I'm not by any means declaring that Friday is the day for Sabbathing. If you have to move it, maybe you're saying, I can Sabbath on Fridays from 4 p.m. to 4 p.m. the next day. But then something changes next week, well, change your time. It's not about the how and when as much as it is the why. If you get that, if you take home one thing, that's what I want you to take home. It's not so much the how and when as much as it is the why. Because when you know why you're doing what you're doing, the rest of it will fall in place. Number two, write this down. If we're going to have a TGIF Sabbath, it's going to require us to, number one, plan ahead. Or that first bullet is plan ahead. You must plan ahead. That means you're going to have, what does that look like for you, Pastor? What is it that you're saying a Sabbath in 2017 looks like? If you want to have a successful Sabbath, resting in the presence of God, enjoying the creation that God has given to us, then plan ahead. Because if you wait till the day and then you look at your significant other or whoever else and say, what do you want to do? You're going to spend the rest of your day saying that. I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. How about you? What do you want to do? And then you're going to get ticked at one another and you're going to do nothing. And Sabbath is going to leave a bad taste in your mouth and say, well, I'm certainly glad we did that. I'm not doing that again. Plan ahead. It's the dreaded question when you leave here today. Where do you want to go for lunch? You know what I'm talking about? Plan ahead. So what we'll do is you can plan ahead. Hey, we're going to go to LeClaire, and we're going to walk around the shops, and we're going to go to Blue Iguana, and we're going to get some tacos. Can you tell where we go sometimes? And we love walking around there. Or the plan is to go to DeWitt, and we're going to do Hall of Fame. And as you can tell, I always love to include food in it. And you walk around to the shops and the stores, or we're going to go for a walk in the Arboretum, and we're going to walk hand in hand and just enjoy. But if you're a married couple, do that. If you're single, don't go find somebody and hold their hand, okay? Unless it's your grandkid or something. I used to think, man, only old people like to watch the leaves change colors. And then I realized, no, that's not true, because now I like it. So we'll walk around. And what are we doing? Enjoying the creation of what God has given to us. We're spending that time honoring Him. When's the last time you looked around and were thankful for just the little things that God has put in your life? Well, Pastor, you don't know my neighborhood. Well, I don't need to. Leave your neighborhood and go to somebody else's and walk around. God created a pretty big piece of rock here, okay? You don't have to stay stuck where you're at unless you choose to stay there. That's the only thing that's going to keep you there. But plan ahead, because if you plan ahead, then you'll be able to do the next thing, which is be intentional. Write that down. Children of Israel, verse 16 said, this is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it every man as much as he should eat. In other words, plan ahead. Verse 19, Moses said to them, let no man leave any of it till morning. In other words, be intentional. Use what God gave you, get rid of it, do what God said, be intentional, follow through. When you make a plan, whether it can be anything. Well, here's our plan. We're going to spend our Sabbath this Friday, and we're going to go play tennis, and we're going to go for a walk, and we're going to go out to eat with the kids, or we're going to have a meal at home around the table. We're going to do some card games. We're going to watch a movie, and I'm not saying you have to do all those in one night. I'm throwing out suggestions, okay? And you say, this is what we're going to do. You can choose one. We're going to stay home. It's just me and my wife. We're going to sit on the porch, and we're going to just sit there because we never get a chance to sit together, and it's crazy busy, and we're going to order a pizza, and we're going to just hang out together. Do you know you can honor the Lord by doing that? Because the Lord just wants you to stop, rest, delight, and contemplate. That's what He's looking for, trying to get us to this place. But you have to plan ahead. You have to be intentional. And then that third bullet, write down, discipline. We must discipline ourselves. And this is the hard part, because you got to discipline yourself. How many of you like disciplining yourselves? Well, not too many people do. But he says, if you want to understand what it means to live a thankful life, have that successful Sabbath, so to speak, it's not going to be found in being perfect. It's going to be found in progressing, moving forward. And you will have to plan ahead, you'll have to be intentional, and you have to discipline yourself. And when you do that, you'll discover number three. Our stopping points will become His starting points. When you actually, intentionally, on purpose, stop, not because I have to, my wife said so, my husband said so, my pastor keeps bugging me, I'm preaching about the Sabbath thing. But when you choose and you say, Lord, I'm going to do it just to honor You, And you stop, God says, now we can start something new, a new season. And it's the season of Sabbathing. You know, sometimes we may say, well, what am I going to get out of it? And you start thinking about all the things. Sometimes it's just simply having more rest. Some of us, the most spiritual thing we could do right now is go to sleep. Some of us need more sleep. You may not know it, but it may be the most necessary thing. You know, on Sabbath, what we love to do? Sleep in as much as we can. We don't make the bed. We don't do the laundry. We just eat food. I love it. God has commanded you to not make your bed. He's commanded you, so to speak. Maybe I'm fine-tuning this a little, but He said, don't work. Don't worry about that. You can make the bed tomorrow, which blew my mind because as a kid, I kept telling my parents that. Why? Because I'm just going to mess it up tomorrow, right? Don't worry about all that. Take this day and honor the Lord. We'll get some scones and we'll have those. You know when we buy the scones, by the way? We don't buy them on our Sabbath. We buy them the day before our Sabbath. So when we wake up, bam, scones are there. Our Sabbath is on and we're on the porch eating scones and loving Jesus and loving life. Is it always that perfect? No. It's not like when you drive through our neighborhood, we got some kind of market on the Sabbath and we exude this fluffy good feeling or something. The fluffy good feeling comes from honoring the Lord. And then He honors you. Right where you're at, right where you live, in your circumstances. Oh, God wouldn't want to love me where I'm at. Says who? The Word of God says completely different. See, you honor the Lord. And you'll find this to be true, that when you learn what it means to stop to Sabbath, you'll start experiencing this newness. Now, it says in verse 27, it came about on the seventh day that some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. These people were the children of Israel. Remember, he said, every day there'll be manna. Go pick up the manna, get enough for the day, be done. But the day before the Sabbath, pick up a double portion, okay? Get twice as much. Why? Because on the Sabbath, you don't work. You rest. So get the food ahead of time. Be intentional. Discipline yourself to do it, because I'm not giving you any manna on the Sabbath day. So do what I told you. So, but what happened on the Sabbath? Some people went out there looking for the manna, and they went out, and guess what? They were shocked. There's no manna. I mean, every day this week I went out there. Well, didn't God tell you that there was going to be no manna and you should get some more from the day before? Well, I heard him, but I didn't believe him. I didn't really think he was going to do that. Good grief. I mean, here I am, and what's he doing? Oh, he's resting. He's waiting for you to do the same. You see, these people did not know how to stop. Yes, granted, they lived in a culture, a society, a season where they were slave-driven and they were working all the time, all the time, all the time, but they were also crying out to God saying, save us. So when God actually did, he said, I'm saving you, but all of a sudden he introduces Sabbath to them once again. It's always a good idea. Have you ever noticed that when somebody's in trouble and they're down and out, it's a perfect opportunity for them to say, hey, can I give you a little advice? You're more susceptible when you've been going through this bondage or this slavery, and then Father God speaks to them and says, honor the Sabbath. I want you to rest. As a matter of fact, I'm going to put you to the test. I'm going to provide for you, but as I provide for you, I'm not going to provide on the Sabbath, so get a double portion. And these people did not know what it meant, some of them, to stop. So that's why they were out there looking for the manna, but they didn't find it. See, some of us maybe here are going to struggle with stopping. That's just a reality. And don't feel bad for that. Don't feel bad. We live in a go, 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 go society. Convenience. If you have to wait longer than 3 minutes at Burger King, we're ticked. And then they're probably going to get the order wrong. And if they do, we don't even want to go back and get it fixed. Why? Because I got to get on to the next thing. We're so busy. And God says, stop. And I love the verse he uses in Psalms. Be still and know that I am God. And many people call this a meditative type of prayer. I don't mean meditative as in meditation, okay? Did you hear that? Okay. Rest of you hear that? Okay. Because I want people going, hey, Pastor Jim was talking about meditation. I am not. But it's called a meditative style of prayer where you take a scripture, and this one specifically works well, and you subtract one word each time, taking time and giving opportunity for the Lord to speak to you. Let's go through it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to read. And I'm going to pause for just a few seconds. Then I'm going to read subtracting a word. And what's interesting to me is each and every time you subtract a word, you're just listening for what the Lord has to speak to you. And it's amazing to me. It can be something different each time. Here it goes. Check this out. He says in his word, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know that I. Be still and know that. Be still and know. Be still and be still. And then lastly, be. I went through it kind of fast. When I'm at home, what I usually do is I say, I've done it a couple times. It's just a good tool. Be still and know that I am God. And I just listen for the Holy Spirit. And sometimes he'll just go, yeah, you should do that. And then I'll say, be still and know that I am. And I think, you are the I am. You're the great I am. Be still and know that I. And I'll think things like, the Holy Spirit starts speaking to me, be still and know that I what? That I, and the Lord will start to speak to you. What you're doing is you're learning to internally slow things down. Why? To stop and hear him. Life is going at such a pace that if God were to speak, we can't hear him. And we just have to slow down. And we'll find this to be true, that last little outline or bullet, is we honor the Lord by Sabbathing and learning to just be. Learning to just be. You see, we can lose this ability to just be. We get so busy in life. When you're a kid, your imagination went like this. You were Spider-Man swinging from room to room, or at least I was. Maybe you were Batman. Maybe you were He-Man, Skeletor, Thor. I don't know who it was. Obviously, I'm leaning into the guy names. Barbie. I don't know any other girl ones. You were Wonder Woman. There you go. And your imagination was just popping. You could do anything, be anyone, go anywhere, but something happened along the way. And you got a job, and you got a house, and you got a husband and a wife, and you got some children. You went through hard times. You went through some chaos. You got some addictions, and you can't imagine anymore. Now it's just a slave to the system, and God is calling us back to a place of just being, moving from human doings to human beings. And that's where He desires to bring us to. God, Sabbath, He created Sabbath. Sabbath is a time to transition from that human doing to human being, and it's a day to celebrate a God who makes time for us to just simply be with Him. Amen? Amen. Father, I thank You that You love us so much, You don't want to leave us where we're at. You don't make us do anything, but Lord, You invite us to come into Your presence. You invite us to come in to the presence of an almighty God and experience joy and peace and rest. And Lord, sometimes we've been so busy in this world, so preoccupied with making money, so preoccupied with getting things done, so preoccupied with doing more, that we forgot what it means to just simply be in Your presence. Father, forgive us for that. Help us know that it's not so much about the how and the when, as much as it is about the why You're calling us to Sabbath. It's so that we can rest. Some of us just need rest for the sake of rest. Some of us need rest so we can have clarity of mind. Some of us need to Sabbath so that it can constantly remind us, You're the God of this universe, not us. So Lord, forgive us when we've not prioritized You correctly. You're not here to crush us, destroy us, or discipline us. You're here to love us. And what a good father does is speak the truth in love. And so I thank You that You have spoken to us the truth and that You love us. Lord, help us as we commit to Sabbathing. Maybe you're here today and this whole being in the presence of God, you just feel distant from it. You don't have a relationship with God and you're far from that, but you feel the Lord tugging on your heart. If that's you, here's all I'm going to ask you to do. If you feel the Lord's tugging on your heart, there's a reason. And you know you need to ask Him to come into your life. Just simply raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I need that. And I'll agree in prayer with you. I'm not going to embarrass you or call you out. But if you're here today and you're saying, I need that, now's the time. Raise your hand. All right. I see your hand, my brother. God sees your heart. And as you raise your hand, God fills you with His love. Don't ever think that you're ever too young, because God sees the pureness of your heart. And you walk in that and you love Him right where He's at. Is there any other hearts here today? Okay. Father, I thank You that, I just thank You. I thank You for all the great blessings. I thank You for this church. I thank You for placing us in this community. So we ask today that as we leave here, Your kingdom come, Your will be done here in this community and in this church, and most importantly, in our lives today. So we thank You, Lord. We honor You in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Will you stand with me this morning? As you leave here today, one per family, please. If we run out of these books, we will get more. I know a guy, okay? And he will